My name is Reginald Wilkinson. They call me Reggie. I am the retired director of the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction.
Reginald Wilkinson took the job in 1991, but did not start overseeing executions until 1999. As part of his duties, he ordered the anonymous executioner to push the button, starting the lethal injection. Then he was on the phone with the Ohio governor, providing a second-by-second description of the scene until the man's heart stopped and he was officially pronounced dead. The Columbus Dispatch is telling the stories of several people who took someone's life. I'm Dispatch reporter Erica Thompson, and in this podcast episode, you will hear Wilkinson recount his experience in his own words. He shares how he was able to emotionally distance himself from his job and why he, ironically, opposes the death penalty. To support journalism like this, subscribe to the Columbus Dispatch at dispatch.com/subscribe.
In the role as director of the department, I oversaw the executions of 20 persons who were condemned to death. It was always difficult to meet with a person you know that probably in a matter of an hour or a couple hours would no longer be able to talk with you. You know, because I've always tried to separate, any kind of emotions and any kind of personal feelings about the process from my being officially required to carry out the responsibility of overseeing the execution. I pretty much attempted to be as stoic as possible. And what I mean by stoic is, I wanted to be emotionless. To me, it was a part of the job prescribed by law that I had to carry out, and I did. Did not mean that I was so unflappable about it all that it didn't bother me. I think it would bother anybody with any kind of sensibility about what was about to happen, but nonetheless, I had a job to do along with a number of other persons who did it with, in my estimation, a lot of reverence. Regarding my personal position on capital punishment, this might sound a little odd, but I believe I have always been against it. But I was never an activist. I never protested anything regarding, capital punishment. But it became a reality when I became director because we got an order, that an execution was imminent. And it was. I think after, the first several executions that, I had to oversee, each one of them concretized in my mind this idea that I was against, capital punishment. It did not mean that I would show it. It did not mean that, I was going to quit my job to protest it. But I began to start to think about why I was against it, knowing that many of the crimes that the persons were charged with who were to be executed were very heinous, affairs. And you have to think about and have a lot of compassion for victims' families. I also had compassion for the inmates, families. They didn't bargain, for this either. So eventually, I just, in my own mind, not in any kind of public way, but in my own mind, I knew that I was not for capital punishment.
Wilkinson said he is opposed to capital punishment globally, and his views come more from an academic perspective than being an activist working to end executions. He felt that society could devise a better system, but he endured that aspect of his job in order to achieve his greater mission, helping inmates become better citizens upon their release and improving public safety.
When I met with the condemned inmates in what is dubbed as the death house at the Southern Ohio Correctional Facility, I'm not sure I had any ritual in mind, and nor did I have any kind of script that I would follow. And what I eventually said to them basically was governed by whether or not they wanted to talk. You know, sometimes it would be a matter of just going to their cell front and asking them if they need anything, do they need access to a spiritual advisor? And, you know, some people would say, no, I don't need anything, thanks for stopping by. And others wanted to talk, and never about the crime, you know, never about the execution process, but just wanting to talk, I think, you know, mostly in their mind to just, you know, make time pass quicker. I didn't want to treat them as a number. You know, I didn't want the seriousness of what was about to happen to them to be undignified, but I guess for my own, you know, sake, I wanted to not make it personal with me. I don't believe I ever had a condemned inmate tell me that they were innocent. I think at that point, if there were no last-minute appeals, it was, in their mind, useless to say that. As far as I know, there was only one inmate who willingly did not go into the execution room willingly. And he basically had to be carried into the room and strapped down on the gurney where the lethal injection is, you know, actually carried out. I don't think he was doing it, you know, as a protest. I think he was just very frightened. And maybe it was a protest. I can't read what his mind was, but he was just fearful of, you know, what was about to happen to him. You know, he was very sorrowful for himself and I think embarrassed with his family. And I just think he just somehow or another lost consciousness of his physical faculties. I can't say that, you know, in reflection about, you know, my time as director, and especially as it relates to capital punishment, that I have nightmares about it all. I do not stay up at night. I can't say that it's caused a lot of trauma for me. Maybe it does, and maybe I'm just good at suppressing it. But I also don't give myself chance enough to think about it and lament about it, you know, overly so.
To read more about Reginald Wilkinson and the stories of others in our series, visit dispatch.com/I took a life.